Attitudes about marijuana have been changing, and laws across the country have been trying to keep pace. In Hawaii, a law went into effect over the weekend to protect medical marijuana users from eviction. While that's good news for some, there are exceptions. And with a look at who's covered and who's not, Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii's Executive Director, Raphael Kennedy, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, seeing that this has happened for some people, that's a very good thing. Specifically, which people are covered from eviction because they're also medical marijuana users?
So the current law will help protect patients that are living in private housing and have provisions in their rental agreements that forbid the use of medical marijuana. This is an important first step, but that's all it is. It's a first step.
But the point being that you have to take at least some first step.
Exactly.
So how many people would have this kind of thing built into their rental agreement? Is this a standard boilerplate?
It's certainly very common. I know I, for one, have such an agreement built into my rental agreement.
Now, that's if you're perhaps in a house, correct?
It's common in housing, in all different types. In many cases, that won't be in the rental agreement. It'll be in the house rules of an apartment complex or in horizontal agreements and that kind of thing. And those, under the current law, will not be affected.
Okay, so give me a for example of if you live in a condo project and the condo's house rules say no medical marijuana?
Under the current law, if the condo's house rules say no medical marijuana, then you still are threatened with eviction. Now, you may be able to argue with the Hawaii Civil Rights Commission that you should be granted a reasonable accommodation to the rules. It's our understanding that those should be granted, but we wanted to make it easier for patients to not have to get these rule changes in a courtroom. No one wants to have to sue their landlord.
And I understand the other point being that with the law as it's currently in effect, that is a small victory for some, but you're really talking about a lot of people, a lot of renters who are in apartment buildings, who are in condos, and there seems to be nothing for them in this.
Well, there are certainly some, and we hope that we'll see improvements and expansions to this law. Certainly at the end of the last legislative session when this law was being worked out, it was the feeling that among legislators and activists alike that this was a first step.
A good thing. So if you're talking about civil protections for some, you're just saying now how do we extend that to all people who might be renting and have the need for medical marijuana? The flip side of that would be, well, how do you know for sure that these are going to be people who have needs of marijuana for medical reasons? That seems to be what, you know, the condo associations or the apartment complexes would want to know.
That's true. The fact is that the current medical marijuana law in Hawaii is very restrictive and only a handful of conditions are covered. All of these provisions that we're trying to improve protections for renter patients, all of these take as an assumption that patients are operating within the current medical marijuana law.
You mentioned that there are sort of holes in that continuum of how someone who should be allowed to have medical marijuana is able to access that. What do you see as being the next step as we come into the January session?
A major priority for us is to expand access to the medical marijuana by adding a system of dispensaries. Hawaii was the first state to create a medical marijuana program through the legislature, and as such, that law has certain weaknesses, and the fact that right now there's no way for patients to buy medicine, that's a big weakness that really needs to be addressed.
Buy it external to their homes or be able to buy what they need to start up and grow it at home, or both?
In fact, both. The current medical marijuana law requires patients to grow their own medicine, but it's silent about how they can get it. Transferring medical marijuana, transferring seeds, transferring plants, all of that is forbidden. So patients are forced to break the law the first time they get their card and have to begin growing.
So that they don't continue to break the law on an ongoing basis. How do you see the dispensaries, which we've been wrestling with for so many years, how do you see that actually coming to fruition this next session? What's the first step for that in your mind?
We've been involved with the dispensary task force that was created by a resolution last year. And this task force has been working hard to try and answer some of these very complicated questions about how dispensaries should operate, where they should be located, and who should govern how much they're allowed to grow and sell. And we feel confident that a diverse body of stakeholders has really been working hard to answer these questions in a way that works for everyone.
Rafael, though, as the implicit point with having a task force like this was to be able to study and have a little more time to see what was happening in other states.
Mm-hmm.
Are there good lessons that you can see that have been taken away and others that are lessons that we should hope to avoid?
There certainly are. And one of the lessons that we've been seeing over and over again is that Hawaii really needs to take a look at states that have done a well-regulated statewide system. Many people have in mind the dispensary program in California, and that, as you may know, is only regulated on the county level. And we don't see some of the robust protections both for the community and for patients. There's not the kind of quality control and safety that we would like to see.
So who's a good example for you that you think would be a model?
Well, so there are good examples in places like New Mexico, and different parts of different programs have been successful. New Mexico has been good. We've seen good features in the state of Oregon. Rhode Island has a program that's similar to ours, so we can see how they've adapted in successful ways.
And those aren't states that we usually immediately look to. I mean, everybody wants to look to what's happened in Colorado and just say, well, you know, that's makes it pretty much equal for most people. But we're not going to have that happen here, so we really need to be looking at how do we take it from where it is right now and the long battle to get dispensaries that work. Do you see that this is something that you feel we could possibly see happen within the next session, or is this a case of you keep knocking at the wall until it falls down?
Well, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I think that so far what we've seen is we've seen a tremendous amount of effort and enthusiasm on all parties to try and really work out a system that works for everyone. The voters in Hawaii are strongly in favor of adding dispensaries. 85% of Hawaii voters want to modernize the system in that way. And it's really just a question of how do we do it.
And when.
And when.
And or someone would say, and finally when. Anyway, we'll see what happens this next session. And at least for some, in the very near term now, there is some protection for those who need to use medical marijuana. And we're also concerned about eviction. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Rafael Kennedy is the Executive Director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. He's been a grassroots organizer for the Drug Policy Action Group and working with the ACLU to coordinate advocacy efforts for the medical cannabis patients of the Medical Cannabis Coalition of Hawaii. More about that new law to keep medical marijuana users from being evicted is on HBR2.org.